Olvídate.
Ah,
I don't know.
I do not.
Just checked, I just.
Okay, the Honorable Mr. Johnson will conduct your hearing, sir.
Okay, sir, can you please state your name and your ADC number for us for the record?
Travis Arthur Clevenger, number 278359.
Okay, so you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Going to introduce you to the board members that will be conducting your hearing today. Sir, to my far right is the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse. Coming down next to her is the Honorable Luis Quinones. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chair. Sir, and to my left is the Honorable David Neal. My name is Michael Johnson. I will be acting as your panel chair today, sir.
Okay.
Also with us, sir, from the Department of Corrections as well as the Parole Office, is Mr. Oliveri. He is representing the Department of Corrections and your parole officer.
All right.
Sir, prior to your hearing, you signed and received a notification form advising you of this board's hearing today. Sir, do you recall receiving and signing that form?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or are you representing yourself today, sir?
Just sure about myself, sir.
Okay. Sir, at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Oliveri in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir, I do. I do.
Okay, so your hearing today is going to be conducted in two phases. In phase one, we'll determine if the terms and conditions of your community supervision have been violated. In phase two, we'll determine whether your community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. We're going to start out in phase one, sir. You have one allegation listed on your warrant. I'm going to read that allegation to you, Mr. Clevenger. And when I read that allegation to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the allegation on your warrant states that you in violation of Arizona condition of supervision 14G as demonstrated by your failure to remain within one specific by inclusion zone or out of my specific exclusion zone as directed by the supervising officer and abide by any and all curfews imposed by the supervising officer on or about October 4th, 2017. Sir, is that true or false?
It is true that I did that, yes.
Okay.
I went to a tunnel and violated the exclusion zone.
Okay.
I won't make any excuses for it. There's no excuse for it.
Okay, sir, we're gonna go into phase two. When we go into phase two of your hand, sir, I'm gonna give you have the opportunity to explain that, okay?
Okay.
All right, so based on the admission of Mr. Clevenger, I'm going to find that he was a delinquent, that he did violate the terms and conditions of the supervision, that he may have lapsed or was about to lapse into some ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Okay, so we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two, the board will determine whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start off phase two, sir. We're getting some additional information from the parole officer, Mr. Oliveri. Then we're going to come back to you, Mr. Clevenger, and get any information that you have or that you'd like to present to the board, okay?
Okay, sir.
All right, Mr. Oliveri.
Offender Clevenger was released from the Department of Corrections on August 8th of 2017. He was arrested in the field by EDC staff on October 4th of 2017, returned back to DOC custody that same day. He has 0 days of stand. His supervision end date will be on March 9th of 2018. Current conviction, 2013, ad name, change sex offender, 4 years, 6 months. One prior conviction, same thing.
Good. What did you say that was?
It was an ad name change for sex offender.
Ad name change. Okay.
He moved without telling him or something like that.
Prior conviction in 2012, sex offender registration violation, 1 year. The offender has 2 terms with ABC. CU and IR scores are a 4-4, mental health score of a 3, SMI, and a substance abuse score of a 3. There was no STG gang information noted. one prior term of supervision. 2013, TIS release, arrested on tech violation, and reached the CSED prior to seeing the BOEC. The offender has a moderate disciplinary history. Other arrest, 1997, aggravated assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 97, sexual conduct with a minor, Arizona juvenile detention. 2004, theft, Arizona felony conviction, probation. 2005, add name change sex offender, Arizona felony conviction, probation. And in 2008, add name change sex offender, Arizona felony conviction, probation. His community risk level is a G4 V4, and he is a level 3 sex offender that is registrable and notifiable.
Okay, Mr. Carpenter, so I see that when you were released, you were referred to the Pima Reentry Center. Will you still stand at the Pima Reentry Center, sir, at the time this incident occurred in Tucson?
Yes, sir, I have.
Okay, so it says...
I was still staying there.
All right, so it says to the best of the... Now, were you working during that time, sir?
No, sir. I have certain mental illness issues that prevent me from working. I was actually trying to find out some way to where I could get on my SSI because I don't trust myself to work. I mean, I've done my day labor, but even then doing day labor, I've had certain issues working at day labor. And it's hard to get a job, as in me being a sex offender. Not many places will hire a sex offender.
Okay. So, sir, I see that you were referred to TAS for your analysis. And it says that on August 22nd, they rejected your specimen sample for testing due to lack of the donor's signature in the chain of custody. Then it says on September 25th, 2017, they changed your color code to that agency's discretion on September 26th, 2017. Then on September 19th and September 28th, you tested positive for THC. Says that they pre-scheduled an appointment for August 9th at La Fontana for medical maintenance and services. They were unable to reschedule to take evaluation appointment on August 21st. That you did not show for your appointment for the second time. Then on September 5th, you were redirected by your parole officer to reschedule. You completed intake on September 19th. And you were transferred to PRC transportation for your first appointment on September 27th before beginning sanctioning at PRC. It says that you had a sanction that on September 17th, you were staffed due to continuous tardy lateness for curfew at PRC. You were verbally reprimanded and advised that you must comply or has your curfew hours would be reduced. And then it says you were referred to sanctions at PRC. This proves like September 27th to October 1st to address the positive view analysis. Then on September 19th, you completed that successfully. You then were referred to sanctions at PRC from October 5th to October 9th to address your positive view analysis. And then on September 26th, 2017, you were returned to custody. On October 4th of 2017. Sir, what was going on with you? What occurred to inspire us? First, you was using, were you smoking marijuana?
Yes, sir, I was smoking marijuana. not to make up any excuses, I just wanted to state that I got some really horrible news. My fiance that I had out there, which includes me going into that wash, I found out she passed away 2 years ago, and I found out that a friend of mine named Spirit, she killed herself. And that on top of that, I went to my uncle's before, and I saw my brother Brian, and it hurt me deeply because he's hooked on methamphetamines, and I left. I made a good steak lunch with some vegetables, some mashed potatoes, and I left all that food right there. I said, here, Uncle Danny, I made this for you guys. I was going to eat here, but I can't stand seeing my brother Brian like this. And I left. Because It hurt me, and I went and I know I should have went somewhere else, but the first thing that went to my mind was just to smoke, smoke some marijuana.
So what is, when you say you went into the wash, can you kind of expound on that for me so I can understand what you're saying?
There's on 4th Avenue in Tucson, there's a wash that goes through, and there's a tunnel. Me and my fiance then, well, before I got locked up this time, were camping out in this tunnel. And we had a whole lot of things in there, and when she passed away, I went in there, or when I got out this time, of course, I went in there, and I just wanted to pick up a few mementos, a few memories of her, you know? And I cried down there, I went down there to grieve. I don't mind crying out in the open in front of people. It feels weird to me. I went down there, I cried, I gathered some of the stuff up that I could find that was still, decent. And from me having the first dirty UA, of course, I was going to have a second dirty UA because from the first time I smoked, it was still in my system. So but there's no excuse for my, I just wanted to explain upon that.
Okay, well, why were you having, being late to your curfews, violating curfew time?
The curfew, being late for curfew, I was downtown Tucson, and I was going and talking to a pastor down there at the Z Mansion. And I'd stay there until around 12 o'clock. And at that time where I was violating curfew, I didn't have a bicycle to where I could get around. And I had to walk. And it takes a good, it takes maybe about an hour to 2 hours just to get down there. There's no excuse for that either. I do want to complete my parole. I know now that I need to go to Lawfare Terror and I need to go to my groups. I want to do that. It's just I need a little bit of help with it. I have a hard time keeping, concentration on things.
Mm-hmm. Are you on the SMI medications now, sir?
The medications I'm on right now are barely helping. Mm-hmm. The medication I got on out there, through La Frontera, was helping a lot. I even asked them if they could put me in the mental hospital they had so I could get situated and get settled in on the medication that they had me on, that they had me taking. I wanted to get it to where it was in my system and, I was good.
Okay. So, sir, you say you went into this tunnel because you wanted to get some momentums of your ex-fiance. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
But you said your ex-fiance had died 2 years ago?
Yes.
And do you think there were still some things in the tunnel from 2 years ago?
Yes, sir, I do believe.
Did you?
I found a few things that were down there that were from when me and her camped out last.
2 years ago?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. So how did you find out that she passed?
I found out from people downtown. I found out from her girlfriend that she passed away. She died from sepsis.
All right, sir, I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. Seeing the board has no, Mr. Oliveira?
According to TASC, when the offender submitted a urinalysis on September 19th, he was positive for THC at 127 nanograms per milliliter. When he subsequently went back and submitted a sample on September 26th, that level increased to 163 nanograms per milliliter.
Okay. So, sir, according to the parole officer, that when you went back and you tested with the marijuana, that it didn't go down, it wasn't still in your system. It had increased as if you had continued smoking more marijuana.
I smoked once that one day, and I smoked one other time.
Okay. So the one other time
that's when And so when I found out that my friend Spirit died, that she killed herself.
All right, sir. I don't see any additional questions coming from the board. Sir, I'm going to give you the opportunity, before we go into discussion, give you the opportunity to see if there's anything else you'd like to say to the board that you haven't already told us, sir.
I would just like to be reinstated so I could go through my treatment through Juan Frontera, so I could go through groups. I really need them. DOC doesn't provide the groups that I need and the counseling I need. I just need my groups, I need my counseling, and I need the treatment that this place can't provide. I just beg that you give me one more chance, please.
Okay, sir.
They could even put me in the intensive treatment housing program they have at PRC. So I ain't going to go anywhere besides PRC and Juan Frontera. There's no other place I'm going to go to. Just want to complete my groups, and I want to go through counseling. I really need it, and I know that I need it, and I do want to go to them. And I know my peer wants me to go and do these too, to go through the groups called Healthy Relationships for Men. I want to go through other counseling that Juan Frontera can provide me. It's all I ask, and that's all I beg that you guys please reinstate me so I can go with these groups.
Okay. Alright, so the board's going to go into discussion. While the board's in discussion, Mr. Clevenger, I am going to ask you to stay on the phone. However, to remain silent. May appear as though we're talking to you, sir, but we're only going to be talking amongst ourselves as a board, and we'll make a decision. You'll be able to hear us deliberate. We'll make a decision as to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision, okay?
Okay.
Alright, the board's now into discussion. It appears that Mr. Clevenger, according to him, he is SMI. However, appears also that his parole officer is trying to work with him and giving him sanctions, trying to get him in line, that trying to get him on his medication and his maintenance service. However, he continued to be late for his curfew and violate his curfew hours, and he did start to smoke marijuana during the time that he was out, and according to him, he smoked marijuana on two separate occasions, both of them due to him finding some information out about a death of his fiance and the death of his friend. He did go back to an area where his monitor, they were unable to monitor him as a result of being in a tunnel in Tucson, and going back to pick up some momentums for his girlfriend. They stayed there for a couple hours. There is a photo of the tunnel that's included in the actual packet that we actually have here for him. So, but he did stay at PRC the time that he was actually there. At this time, he's not been employed. He stated he was SMI, and that he was afraid of working because of his mental conditions. Mr. Clevenger did in 2013 have another TIS release. However, at that time he was violated because of a technical violation. It appears that Mr. Clevenger is not doing well on community supervision. He's been late to his curfew and violated his curfew hours, as well as began to smoke marijuana during the time that he was out in violation of his parole. Therefore, at this time, I think it's going to be best if he remains in custody. He has about 4 months until March 9th of 2018 before he's actually released. At that time, when he's actually released, he'll be able to get himself in a program and not be assigned to a halfway house, and he won't be having the curfew hours that he actually has. Therefore, I'm not supportive at this time of releasing Mr. Clevenger back out to community supervision. I'm willing to listen to the board, Mr. Rittenhouse.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I'm really torn on this one because this is clearly a man who needs treatment, and he's asking for treatment. And I'm not sure that when he's on his own, he'll be able to get that, which he would be on his own after March 9th of next year. But if we did reinstate, and I'm not saying we should, he would at least have the support of a parole officer to help him get placed into something. Either way, I think we need to encourage him to work with his CO3 now to get something set up and something going for him, because I'm just concerned about him being in the community and being able to get himself. He knows what he needs, but being able to follow through and get everything all set up for himself, I think he might need a little support with that. So thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Any more comments? Mr. Nelson, I'm going to say that I do have that concern with him too, but because in 2013 that he was a tech violation, once this is a tech violation, again, it appears the PO did work with him and try to get him some help. And, you know, I'm also concerned that in 2008 and 2005 and 2013 that he has this ad name change on it, and I'm not quite sure what that is, but just kind of reading makes me think that he's changing his name so that he doesn't have to register as a sex offender. I'm not quite sure what that actually means, but that he's is avoiding his supervision by changing his name. That's what it is. I don't know, Mr. Oliveira, if we come out for a minute out of discussion, can you expound a little bit on what that means?
I'm trying to look at it right now for you, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, look on his face when that came up, was like us, you know, six of us with deer in the head, like
that. Yeah.
No, I
think we heard that one.
I had the same head tone.
And also, while he's looking that up, I do want to state that in the violation report in allegation one, although he says that he was in a tunnel, it does say that the monitor showed him inside school grounds for about 30 minutes during the time he said he was also in a wash, and that he was 15 feet long and went under the street. So it is a concern as to what he's actually doing when he's out there.
Since we're back in discussion, I think, and I didn't make a comment before, I think that and listening to that Honorable Mr. Rittenhouse, I think that, and Honorable Mr. Johnson, this one board member's opinion would be best for him to just to remain in, but so that he can be prepared when he gets out in March. He's going to be out in March the 8th at any length, whatever, March the 9th at any rate. And I think that he really needs to be prepared so that he won't just be out on the streets and will not just have to go back to that tunnel and so forth. He really needs some help, in my opinion. And
yes,
I think that he can work with his CO3, and hopefully he will be ready when he gets out.
I can't find anything on the web. I'm going to go into the release management system and see if I can pull up his court docs.
Okay. I'm going to come back out of discussion and go back to Mr. Clevenger. Mr. Clevenger?
Yes, sir.
So we're trying to get an understanding and figure out what ad name change means. Can you explain to us what that means?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, sir, I can. It is a failure to give notice of a change of name or a change of address. What I did was I failed to go to the sheriff's office and go and register where I was staying at. I never tried to change my name. I just failed to go and follow through with going to register. I just never had any people, anybody who could give me a ride to where I can go and register. I don't know, I have a memory problem on, remembering where the sheriff's office is, and not only that, I didn't have the proper support at them times.
Okay, so sir, did you use different alias names?
No, sir.
Name?
I just used Travis Arthur Clevenger. That's the only one that I've ever used.
Okay, all right, thank you, sir. We're gonna go back into discussion.
Yeah, according to the court docs, count one, failure to give notice of change of address or change of name, category two.
Okay.
It's correct.
Okay, all right. Thank you, sir. So now that we're back into discussion, I do think that based on all the information that we have, it would be in the best interest of the community. And I think in the best interest of Mr. Clevenger, although he does need more assistance to remain incarcerated, so that, you know, hopefully he can work with the CO3 and get on some the right medications that can help him out, and that he can get himself together so that when he's released in March of March 9th of 2018, that he will be able to get out there and be self-sufficient. At the time, I'm looking to listen to the rest of the board. There be no other comments coming from the board, then I'm going to make a motion to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Clevenger, find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, that he may have lapses, about to lapse into criminal ways of company, and the fact that he was smoking marijuana, and he was also prohibited area for his monitoring. According to the monitor, shows that he was inside of a schoolyard for about 30 minutes. That is my motion.
Stand on.
Agree. Okay, Mr. Clevenger.
Yeah.
Okay, sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision. You will be released on March 9th of 2018, sir. We hope that you take that time to get all your medications that you need while you're incarcerated, sir, and try to work with the CO3 and come up with a plan so that when you are released, sir, hopefully you can be a productive citizen out there and won't have to come back before this board again, okay?
I won't have to, because I'll be following a lawsuit once I get out. Because I never should have been in here for a failure to register, on the fact that when I was adjudicated, it stated I only had to register up until the age of 25 years old, and therefore no longer have to register after the age of 25 years old.
Okay.
So I'll be getting $7 million out of the deal.
Okay.
That's fine.
So you can have a right to take any civil action that you deem necessary on your behalf. So I do want to thank you for taking the opportunity to appear before this board, sir.
Yes.
That's going to conclude your hearing at this time.
Please put the CO3 back on, sir.
Okay.